RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Oh, now this is more like it.
There you go.
It's time for sports.
It's time for MP on the mic.
All right, listen up, class.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's a Wednesday morning. We've had a busy show, but we cannot go any further without acknowledging it's VCU game night at the Siegel Center. I had a ton of fun down there at the opener. I'm sure tonight will be no different. Great environment down there to watch basketball in. Undefeated team coming back after a butt-kicking of Boston College. That was fun to watch on Friday up in Annapolis. Hopefully a big crowd there welcoming them tonight as they face Merrimack, 7 p.m. Siegel Center's the place to be. If not, you know where to be. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, AWOD pregame and halftime show, and of course the postgame with Robbie, Rodney, and plenty of interviews as we do every day. And then we'll be in Philly tomorrow, a little pregame action for Commanders-Eagles. Great stretch of games here on The Fan. Everybody's fired up for that one as well. So, of course, we love to talk to our guy, Zach Joachim, about VCU basketball. But that's not the lead topic here, because he's at the center of this thing where Richmond is now known as the place where concerts go to die, I guess. I don't know. This is the third concert that's been canceled in Richmond right before showtime in the last few months. And somebody, at some point, somebody's got to stand up and say enough is enough. We've got a reputation to protect. You know him, you love him, Zach Joachim, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Welcome aboard, Zach.
MP, good morning, my friend. And yes, mechanical issue with the venue. It looks like Houndmouth was saying. Posted about 5 Houndmouth songs on my Instagram story yesterday. Was all amped up for the show. If you're not immediately familiar with the song, Sedona might ring a bell. Very popular song, and I was super excited to see them. And I walk up to the National last night, and it says, due to unforeseen circumstances, Houndmouth has been canceled. The dreaded unforeseen circumstances, it would appear, was a mechanical issue with the venue. Good news, it has been postponed, so they're gonna reschedule it. They haven't released the date yet, so they're still going to put on the show. But yeah, man, I don't know what's going on with concerts in the Richmond area lately. The mechanical issues seem to be the main culprit here.
That's tough because you get amped up. Like if you find out at noon, you adjust your day accordingly. You are in the right mental state to go to a concert, and there's no backup plan for that.
I was, but I've got the marathon on Saturday, and so I'm not having any drinks for a couple of weeks here leading up to the marathon, trying to be feeling my best, ready to run 26.2 miles. So the silver lining here is I wasn't going to be able to have a drink at the show last night. Now it's rescheduled, I'll be able to have a drink at the show.
Yes, sir. As long as you survive the marathon first, how are we feeling?
Feeling good. I did the last little just 2-mile tune-up last night just to make sure everything was still in working order. I've been paranoid about every little ache and pain in my body this week. I think that's been the worst part of it for me, is I'll step out of bed and but you know, my foot will be sore, or I'll be like, oh, I pulled a hamstring or something like that. And I biked 17 miles on Sunday, which was kind of the last longer cardio prep. And I did the long run a couple of weeks ago as my last one of 17 miles. And I know I can get across that finish line. Can I hit my goal? I'm trying to get under 4 hours. I think it's a good target for me. I'm going to be right around there. And so I'm super excited. My family's going to be here for the weekend. We'll see if I can get to the Siegel Center that night, though.
Yeah.
Friend George Templeton, who posted a meme the other week of me wobbling around, walking into the Siegel Center that night. It was a Futurama meme, and so that might be what I look like.
It's nobody will blame you if you sit this one out. You're entitled to one every now and then. So you ran the 20 miles. As somebody who's never been in that ballpark before, how much do you eat after running 20 miles?
Oh, a ton. So actually, when I did the 20-mile training, there's a place called Spice of India, which is right next to my apartment downtown. And I went and got a giant chicken tandoori and a giant vegetable jalfrezi, which are two of my favorite Indian dishes. And I ate all of it that day. And it was like $50 worth of Indian food. And it was wonderful. So you eat a ton. And on Saturday after the full marathon, I'm not sure where I'm going yet with my family, but I will be having an enormous meal in order to give me the energy that I need to get to the Siegel Center later. And I'm carb loading all week. I've had pasta for dinner the last two nights, and will do so the next three nights leading into the race. So you try and front load a little bit.
The night before the marathon is Joe's End's biggest sales night of the year, over at Joe's End.
Really?
Number one for them. So there are other places to get pasta, of course, but that's like the most famous one. That is their number one sales night of the year. So you're not alone in that. That you make a compelling case for bringing back the Indian lunch buffet, though, which was always a staple of when I worked downtown. I loved the lunch buffet. That was great. Didn't need to eat the rest, go load up. I don't think the buffet exists anymore post COVID.
I don't believe it does. Yeah. There's a couple of lunch food trucks that I love to go to, where you can get like the chicken salad and the tuna salad, little meals that they do, and they're like $10. They're a great deal. They're just down here, I think, on Main Street, right down the street from my apartment. The Edo's Squid was my plan on Friday. So I got family in town thinking we're going to go out and do something nice. I know you're familiar. That's always been one of my favorite Richmond restaurants. The crab pasta there, is my favorite. And you get so great protein, carb-loaded meal. That's my plan on Friday before the race.
I love everything about this segment because we're talking about crab pasta and it's great. basketball tonight, though, Zach, you'll be covering it. Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com, of course. I guess, you know, Merrimack's not super exciting at face value, but I think where this team's at is really exciting, coming off of a very complete performance against Boston College.
Merrimack is decent, it would seem, and honestly, I'm excited to get kind of basketball nerdy tonight. This defensive scheme that they run, I think, is really interesting. This chaos zone, or make chaos zone, it seems like it's been dubbed. Their coach, Joe Gallo.
Don't call it havoc, though.
Don't call it havoc. No, and it is, schematically, it's quite different, right? Because obviously BC wasn't running a zone in those years, but this is a defense that's predicated on forcing turnovers. You're going to see the Black and Gold Fan Podcast did a great breakdown of it on their Instagram account yesterday. You're going to see the wings and the guards with their feet or their heels on the three-point line. So it's really going to be extended out. They're going to run you off the three-point line, try and force mid-range jumpers and bad percentage shots while the big really just kind of sinks into the paint and plays a rim-protecting role. So incredibly important to try and make passes into the post and into that area and get a couple of guys in there to create mismatches and make them rotate off that. I don't think BCU is going to attempt the amount of threes that they did against Bellarmine tonight, because that Merrimack defense is very much designed to limit your three-point attempts. But Annapolis was awesome. 80-55 win over Boston College. BC is going to finish toward the bottom of the ACC this year, right? But I still think to run an ACC opponent off the floor like that on a neutral court is incredibly impressive and promising early on for BCU, especially when you're still missing one of your best players in Zeb Jackson. And I had a lot of people asking me, is it possible that Zeb is going to be ready for Charleston? I don't know. They're obviously still working through it. That's obviously the hope throughout the BCU fan base. Charleston is going to be huge for this team in terms of building the non-conference resume. I think we won't see him until December would be the safe bet right now. But look, these young guards, man, they're getting playing time and they're capitalizing on it. I asked to have Brandon Jennings at the media podium on Friday, which is the first time he's obviously done that in just his second game at BCU. And man, Brandon got his first bucket as a Ram. He only had 2 points, but he played 25-25, and he affected that game in so many little ways. There was a sequence that I pointed to in the story early on in the game where he sprinted to one corner of the floor where Chad Benning got the ball, caught out pretty far out in the post. BCU did a great job of limiting him and making him catch far out, not letting him establish post position. Went over to double, made Benning fling a cross-court pass over to the other wing, and then Brandon sprinted to recover on that other wing to defend a drive and force a jump ball. And that was just, I thought, a testament to the defensive intensity that he brought and the fact that he brings all the little things and contributes to winning in a bunch of ways on the floor. Man, he didn't stuff the stat sheet, but he made a huge impact on that game. And I think when you hear Ryan Odom talk about him, you get all of the explanation as to why he's garnered so many minutes so early in his VCU career. Here's Brandon's line. One assist, two steals, one block, a couple rebounds, 2 points. I mean, it's in 25-25, though, and he's getting a chance to play. So is Terrence Hill. And the depth of that backcourt has shined with Zeb missing time here early, and it did again against Boston College. And Philip Russell and Joe Bamseal continue to be the leading duo, which is great because Max Schulga's not having to carry this team offensively like he did for stretches early last year. He's able to kind of contribute more defensively and in the rebounding game. You texted me yesterday, this is the Philip Russell town now.
Yeah, it is.
And to see the connection that he's forged with this fan base early on has been awesome. He's just so VCU, isn't he? Have you had as much fun watching him early on here as I have? That guy's intensity is just, it harkens to some of the greatest VCU guards of old.
Yeah, with Brandon Jennings, I love, because everybody else is so good at offense, he doesn't have to be. Like, I watch him and I think, that kid's ready defensively, and he's locking it down defensively, and he's probably not ready offensively, and it kind of doesn't matter as long as everybody else is hitting shots the way they are.
You know who is ready offensively, though? It's Terrence Hill.
Yes,
he
is.
Played 6-0-6 in that game on Friday. He had 5 points, 2-of-2 from the field. And so I think going forward, you love the dynamic of that backcourt duo. Right, it's not that Terrence can't play defense. It's not that Brandon can't play offense. The side of that, their games for both of those guys will mature over the years, and they'll become more complete players. But you can see, the long term outlook. I think that Ryan Odom had in recruiting that duo together. Terrence has a wonderful offensive skill set, a great ball handler, really smooth scorer, and Brandon is just that gritty, do everything to win guard. And it seems like that's going to be a great backcourt duo for the future for BCU. And I think it's a testament to Odom's eye for recruiting that he saw those two guys as guys that could be paired together, because obviously this is you talk about all the experience that this VCU team has this year, and that's awesome. You got 5 graduate players, and that's certainly going to help them this year, but you're going to have a ton of roster turnover after this season ends. And so Terrence and Brandon, them getting some playing time here as freshmen is big because they're going to step into really prominent roles next year and going down the road for this program.
Should help keep them around as well, which we certainly want and appreciate when that happens. Zach Joachim from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com. Good weekend to run a marathon because we're waiting on next week for a lot of these high school matchups. And I know you're following the brackets as we are. Verina Huguenot potential next weekend. How big of a game would that be early in the playoffs?
Oh, my gosh, that'd be so much fun. At James E. Dawkins Stadium, Brian's the 2 seed and 4B, Huguenot's the 3 seed. The 4B, I think throughout the year, that region is the one that everyone was most excited to see. Because you got 4 teams at the top, throwing King George in there, which is a little outside the coverage area. But number 1, Dinwiddie, number 2, Verina, number 3, Huguenot. I think they all have every chance to win this region. Dinwiddie had a tough first-round draw. Powhatan is about as good of an 8 seed as you'll find throughout Virginia. So that's no gimme for the Generals in their first-round matchup, although huge for them to have home field throughout the playoffs because Dinwiddie is such a tough place to go win a ball game, as Matoaka learned in a fantastic game this past week. I think it's a tough draw for Huguenot because you're 10-0. You're the number 1 ranked team in the area per our rankings. You've had this special season, and you end up with the 3 seed, and you might have to go to Verina, which is such a tough assignment. And I think that Verina team is just built to give Huguenot trouble with how good their defensive line is and how good that front 7 is. Braylon Hood at linebacker, Jayshon Richardson on the defensive line, They've just impressed me in the couple times that I've seen them this year, and they were obviously great in their win over Highland Springs the other week with their ability to wreck an offensive game plan. And for a high-flying offense like Huguenot, predicated on getting, you know, its playmakers the ball in space, Ivion Lewis, John Washington, Markell Dabney, they've had a few guys just have incredibly explosive games this year. We were having that conversation the other day. It's hard to pick out one guy, you know, because we're starting to have early All-Metro Player of the Year conversations, and Huguenot has just spread the wealth a little bit, and they can come at you different ways offensively. But I think Verina is really built to give them a tough matchup. And then on the other side of the ball, man, Caleb Weish is growing up in front of our eyes. He's just a sophomore. Got a chance to contribute, almost helped Verina beat Highland Springs last year as a true freshman in the East End Showdown, and just a dynamic dual-threat quarterback who's always been able to beat you with his legs, also a great basketball player, and he's really matured in the passing game as Verina has got Damari Carter healthy in the second half of the schedule for them, their star receiver. I think that's been huge in opening up the offense for the Blue Devils. You're right, that's looking a week ahead. Verina should get past Hanover. Huguenot beat Eastern View, their first-round matchup, handily earlier in the season. That's going to be such an awesome matchup next week, and I wish I could cover it. It's going to be tough for me because I want to be in Charleston. That's obviously looking ahead a little bit, and VCU's got another game on Saturday before then, but man, what a great opportunity for a team playing really, really well right now to go down to Charleston and get a few wins to pad the NCAA tournament resume. I wish I could be here for the second round of the high school football playoffs. It's going to be great. Regions 5C and 6A, obviously going to be entertaining as well with a bunch of local teams. And I'm Matoaka and in 5C and William Fleming's at the top of that region. LC Bird and Hermitage. I'm looking at the bracket right now. That's the matchup that I have my eye most on this week. That's the 3-6 matchup in 5C. Weldon Bradshaw is going to go cover that one for us. That one's going to be intense. I could see either team winning that game at Dutchman Stadium on Friday.
It's going to be a ton of fun. Great time of year, and you certainly aren't lacking for fun going down to Charleston. It's going to be a great weekend with the Rams. Zach Joachim, I will not see you tonight, so good luck in the marathon. Good luck getting your share of the food tonight, if that is even a possibility out there at VCU. Have fun. It's VCU Merrimack tonight at 7. Read about it tomorrow, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. We'll check in with you next week.
MP, you're the best. You read my mind. I'm determined to get there early enough for pizza tonight. It's happening.
There you go. You heard it right here. He's going to make it happen. We'll get Awad to monitor the situation out there. We got to take a break. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now,
MP on the mic Wednesday morning. We'll send it over to Awad Radio momentarily in about half an hour. He'll get you ready for VCU basketball tonight against Merrimack at the Siegel Center, coming back home after that monster 80-55 win in Annapolis. We'll look back at that. We'll look forward to tonight. We'll do it all with Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams. He'll have the call tonight right here on 910 The Fan. Good morning. What's up?
Man, two times in 7 days, MP. What a wonderful life I am living. And I appreciate you doing the sports thing. You had me on Friday. We won by 25. We're going to keep going with it as the Rams, you know, look to win another one tonight.
That's, you know, if it's 25 again tonight, I think we've officially got a thing. So we're on
Absolutely.
Alert for it, for sure. Absolutely. Take me to Annapolis. How was, you know, that game? And just it was so fun to see them run and the roster depth and to get Brandon Jennings significant minutes. Seems like there were a lot of positives to take away out of that.
Man, Michael, you're exactly right. And coming out of there, I think people started buying some stock in VCU basketball. If you hadn't bought any before, you're definitely buying it after that game. And it's interesting you say depth. I mean, we showed that depth, and we didn't even have Zeb Jackson, who is arguably, Michael, probably our best defender, I think I would say, at least most experienced defender, and is an offensive force on that side of the floor too. And to win by 25 without him, it really, I think, just does show how deep this team is, because Jennings and Terrence Hill are both freshmen that you don't necessarily want to rely on. Like, it's nice that we have other guys that we don't have to rely on freshmen, but man, it's great for them to come in, bring some energy. Jennings is an elite defender. Like, he just really gets the X's and O's on that side of the floor. I've been saying it since the beginning. I think Terrence Hill's game is one that our Ram fans are going to grow to love. So, yeah, I will say this too. Boston College is not going to be challenging North Carolina or Duke for the ACC title. Like, when you look and see what they were picked, to finish last or close to last in the ACC. So I don't necessarily want to come out of there thinking that, man, we could roll the ACC teams if we needed to, which we might be able to. But on the same token, when you beat a team from any conference by 25, especially on a neutral site, you've got to feel just glorious about it, and I think we do.
And Duke losing to Kentucky, man. All sorts of stuff happening early in the season, and that's what y'all going to Charleston for. You sort out exactly where you stand in the order here. That's going to be a fun trip. But we're focused on tonight, VCU Merrimack. What do we know about Merrimack? What's the challenge they're going to bring to the Siegel Center?
Michael, they are going to bring in a different type of defense than we're used to seeing. It is a matchup zone, which if you're a basketball nut, you know exactly what that is. I would probably have a hard time really describing it to you right now. It's got, I think, zone properties, but man-to-man is what I've been told, and it's different. And they'll play it from the very beginning to the end of the game. They will not waver from that. They're a little bit like Syracuse when it comes to just committing to playing zone each and every time down the floor. I don't think the Rams can shoot them out of that zone, even though we do have the ability to hit a lot of three-pointers. So if you're a VCU fan, you should be a little nervous about how the Rams are going to take what could really be a banana peel type defense. Like Rams are playing great, hitting a lot of shots, and all of a sudden, man, you're taking on a team that knows how to defend in a different way. They've got a guy named Bud Adams, and he is kind of their alpha and omega on the offensive side of the floor, averages like 17 points per game, leads them in steals, super athletic guy, can hit a lot of threes. And they just beat Vermont by 15 the other day, and Vermont's pretty good. Like, Vermont is a team that usually in their conference is at the top or getting the automatic bid up there and up the north, and they just wore them out. Merrimack's a team that also was a Division II power for a long time that has transitioned into Division I. They had a couple years where they couldn't make the tournament, even though they won the NEC tournament. So it's a team that's got a lot of talent, and this is one of those games, Michael, that on paper you look at, you're like, Merrimack. Who is Merrimack? Ah, we're playing this. And then they're going to come in here, and I think they're going to be a real load for us.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to get the challenge, and more fun, of course, to come out with the win after being challenged. That'll be the goal tonight for the Rams down at the Siegel Center. I love that you mentioned the young guys. I think Brandon Jennings in particular, just being from here, will come along offensively, but I was surprised to see just how complete he is defensively. He was really good on that end of the floor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not even a question, no, Robbie. I feel like the Chris Farley skit on Saturday Night Live. Remember that time when we played defense? That was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was great. That was. I agree, and I think, you know, like anything, he's going to be a player that you look up, and he's going to play like 9 minutes and have a steal and a couple defensive stops, and also have like three fouls. You're like, oh man, how's that happening? But I think that's what he'll bring, is that excitement and that energy. And that's what coach loves coming off the bench, is when you can bring energy off the bench like Brandon Jennings is. He will get plays. Mike, when Zeb Jackson comes back, coach is going to have to work really hard to figure out minutes for the Shulgas, Jacksons, Phil Russells, and then you go down to Joe Bamisil, and then you've got the freshman Jennings and Hill, who I think are earning time right now. And it's going to be it'll be a little bit of a juggling act for Coach Odom, because you want to obviously keep continuity in the locker room and everybody loving each other and people happy. I mean, obviously we live in the transfer portal era, so you've got to keep a mind on that. But man, you got four guards in Jackson, Phillip Russell, Max Shulga, and Bamisil. Mike, they're all great and could all play the entire game probably if needed.
It sets you up well for the future, as long as you can get there, right, to where there's continuity next year, which you would love to see, obviously, well, in the portal.
And Michael,
era.
To that point, I think it's important that we make that point on how I think Coach Odom is wanting to build this battleship that is VCU basketball. Right now, he's got a bunch of old guys, and experienced guys, we're going to war with those guys. He can continually tell the younger players, guys, look, all those minutes, they're your minutes next year. There's going to be hundreds of minutes ups for grabs, and so learn, become better, and then next year you'll be in great shape to take those minutes. So it does, I think, keep guys happy for the time being and also settled in what their role is, and then next year knowing that they can flourish with more minutes available. I don't think he's going to be the kind of coach, Mike, that brings in four new guards to replace the four guys we lost. I think he wants to go to war next year with Jennings and Hill and maybe fill in with a guy here and there.
I love to hear that. Robbie Robinson, voice of the Rams. You'll hear him tonight, 7 o'clock, VCU Merrimack. Not directly in your lane, Robbie, but we've been pumping it up all week. Friday night, the Support Her game, VCU women's basketball is going to play at the Siegel Center. Ton of ticket promos. They're trying to pack it out. They did this last year. Great crowd, fun environment. Cool to see the opportunity for folks to get out there and support women's sports at VCU as well.
I agree, and I think the key about this, and MP, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you talking about it because it's awesome. And I think it's less of just doing it out of the goodness of your heart and more of like, no, go watch good women's basketball. Our team's good. We're 2-0. It's going to be an exciting brand of basketball. We play defense better than almost anybody in the country. And yes, it is an opportunity for the city of Richmond. If you're a dad, because let's be honest, you got 95% of the people listening to this broadcast right now are men. 25 to 54 years old, and that puts you in the realm of having a daughter or having a young son, and that's who we really want to come watch this. We want you dads to bring your girls out on Friday night to this game and see, you know, elite women's basketball players in action, and that's what you're going to be able to show your kids, and that is I think really the compelling part of the Support Her game for the dads. That I know you guys want to talk about Commanders, and you and I could talk about VCU basketball all you want, but to take a moment and say, you know what, on Friday night I'm going to grab my daughter. She's going to get some dad time, and we're going to go to this game, and we're going to see people that look like her that are out there and competing at a high level. And I think that's what makes it great.
Never too early to teach them to be Rams fans. Never too early to take them to curbside after the game. These are my official stances on parenting. Robbie Robinson on the call tonight, VCU Merrimack, 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Always appreciate the time. We'll see if we can go 2-for-2 on these appearances.
Man, MP, I appreciate you having me on. Have a great rest of the show, and I will see you very soon.
Excellent. Looking forward to that, and get out there to the Siegel Center tonight and Friday night for the VCU women's game against Temple. Crosstalk with AWOD on the other side. Looking forward to that. We'll put a bow on this thing. Send you off into the AWOD radio back Thursday with a little preview from Philly. Commanders, Eagles, some great sports on The Fan these next couple nights. You got the VCU men tonight. And then tomorrow night, Commanders, Eagles, great games. You know where to find them. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good show, Wednesday show, which doesn't feel like a Wednesday. Nothing feels like anything. We had both with the Monday off, and we got Thursday night football. Who knows what it all adds up to? I don't know. We'll be in Philly tomorrow. Eagles, Commanders, fired up for that game, but don't overlook tonight. Merrimack, VCU, 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Before that game, you'll get the pregame show from AWOD Radio. He joins us now. We call it Crosstalk.
Two hosts enter.
Let's get it on right now, all right?
Two hosts will also leave, but in between, all bets are off. This is Crosstalk with MP and AWOD.
Okie dokie, let's get this show on the road!
It's just such a different vibe from last year because they lost the opener last year and it felt like we were climbing out of that hole the rest of the way. There were some tough losses. Just the vibes are so good right now around VCU basketball.
I'm totally with you. And I would even argue that like last year, there was a hole just coming into this season that they had to dig themselves out of because they were just getting to know each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the continuity's there. The production's there. The kids are good. I think the freshmen have far exceeded my expectations so far. I love where we're at. So tonight, Merrimack, we've heard, Zach told us, Robbie told us, that this defense they run, zone matchup, nobody knows what that means. It's fun. It's unique. It's a little wrinkle. I'm not worried about it by any stretch, but it'd be fun to see something different.
Well, the reason they do that is because they try to run you off the three-point line, and VCU has shot over 50% from three for, I believe, maybe not the second game, but they definitely did in that first game there. And the goal is to limit the amount of open three-point shots the Rams get. But anytime you play a zone like that, there's going to be holes in the zone. And my boys from the Black Gold Fan Podcast have identified the corner and the short corner, as well as the post, the high post there, as an opportunity for guys like Christian Furman, Jack Clark, Michael Bell to get inside of the heart of that zone defense, and then like once you get it in there, they can turn around and score, or they can kick it back out once you collapse, and that's when you lead to some open three-point shots.
There will be opportunities, and I don't want to look ahead to Charleston, but I'm looking ahead to Charleston.
You're the king of that, Michael.
I'm the king of, king of looking ahead. Not looking ahead with the Commanders, because this is a big game this week. Jaden Daniels, give me your Jaden Daniels temperature. He got locked down by the Steelers. Is that because they're a great defense? Are we seeing signs of the patented Cliff Kingsbury late season slowdown? Are we seeing Jaden hit a rookie wall? Or are we overthinking it? They just played the Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers are a good defense, but I was not in love with Cliff Kingsbury's play calls, and I was not in love with Jaden Daniels' accuracy on the game. I do chop that up more to the Steelers being very good and pressuring them. But we got to keep our eye on it because it does feel like the offense as a whole has taken a step back. There were a few games where we gave them an excuse. Oh, well, they missed a field goal. Oh, where they got to the red zone, didn't get a touchdown. That's why they didn't have their point total, their average they've been getting throughout the season. Well, this was the opposite, right? The Steelers handed them 7 points, and they got to 27. They really should have only had 20. We kind of knew they needed 30 to get the win. That entire fourth quarter, they were shut down.
Yeah, there are ways they could lose tomorrow night where I don't do a sad show on Friday, 35-34.
See, I'm done with that, Michael. There's no moral victory when it comes to the division rivalry, your divisional opponents. There's no, because here's the thing is, I think you're onto something. Like, I am very fearful that we lose 34-31 in overtime again, right? Or we lose a heartbreaker 28-27 like this past weekend, and then all of a sudden you're 7-4. And at that point, you've completely lost the momentum, and you're now a game and a half down in your own side division there against the Eagles. That's why this game is everything, right? Every inch matters. Every point matters on Thursday Night Football against the Eagles. You have to find a way to win that game. If you want to be your division winners, you've got to win that game. I do kind of see the Commanders splitting with the Eagles, but I don't want to be desperate for a victory when they come to Washington.
Al Pacino over here. On this team, we fight for that inch.
I watched it this past weekend.
For that inch.
It's so good. It's so good. And if you haven't seen the director's cut, it's even better.
Oh.
It's like 3 hours long. It's just even more Al Pacino.
I think they can lose, and I'll still say that's a playoff team, not a home playoff team, obviously, if they lose this one. I think you recalibrate on that. There are ways they can lose, though, where the wheels fall off, and that's what keeps me awake at night. Like, I won't be happy if they lose tomorrow. I'd rather winning's better than losing, but there's some really bad losing scenarios here as well.
Yeah, and that's why I was so disappointed yesterday on the show. Not angry, not upset, just disappointed because I could see this team losing, like I said, 31-30, and then that's two losses in a row by a total of 2 points. Like, you have to find a way to win the games that you should have won.
This was the Steelers game was the first game that they lost where you say change one thing and they win, right? Like, that you can't say that about Baltimore. Ravens outclassed them in Baltimore and could have won by more. I know it was just a one-score game. Could have won by more. They held it back at the end. Tampa, it was week one, but this was the first one where it's like, that stings a bit. Like, they left some things out there on the field.
Yeah, especially because it was the first game, I think, this season where the offense let them down at the end, right? I get the defense jumped off sides, but the offense missed the fourth down, and really that whole drive was all over the place.
Yeah.
Too many penalties now. This is kind of three games in a row where the mistakes have been an issue.
And Jaden has bailed them out of a lot of third and longs over the course of the year, and I love that he does that, and it's fun when he does that. You got to quit putting the kid in that position at a certain point, though. You got to be better than that.
Yeah, and there was that one like QB draw that he got tackled right at the line of scrimmage there. He was not able to use his legs. We have not seen him really use his legs as much as he did earlier this season. I would love to see him explode for 65 yards on the ground against Philadelphia.
That would be big time. I would love that. What Daniel Jones used to do to Washington on Thursday nights.
He'd
come in that short week and all of a sudden, just, you know.
Because you're going to need an X factor. You're going to need somebody to flip the field, change the momentum. It's going to be such a difficult game at the Link.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We'll be inside the locker room Friday morning during MP on the mic. Looking forward to that, of course. This is my designated time to talk about the NBA because you're here and you can bail me out. This Heat game last night, he called the timeout but didn't have a timeout. I love the courts for the in-season tournament. I'm kind of a mark.
You're pro that?
I'm pro the wacky courts. Not forever.
Yeah.
Just every once in a while I like to turn it on and be like, oh, okay, it's a full gimmick. Like, we're fully leaning into it. Now, that delegitimizes the prestige of the trophy for sure.
Yeah.
The court absolutely delegitimizes the tournament. But it was fun to see the clip float around where Spoelstra, who I think is good, calls a timeout he doesn't have and it costs them the game. That's a wacky ending to an NBA game.
It is. I have been paying very little attention to the NBA this season. There's just, I mean, you got the whole Bronny James thing here. How wild is that they're going to have him play only the home games in the G League?
Pre-draft. Bronny will not go to the G League. Don't bother draft him. He won't go to the G League. And then one game in, like, well, now that he's on the Lakers, like, he's decided to go to the G League. I bet he has. Yeah.
Right. Have you seen, the way some of the G Leaguers sleep, at night? I mean, they sleep in, like, motels. That was not going to happen to the son of LeBron James. No. This is why he will not travel with the team for road games. He will sleep in the LeBron mansion and then go to games.
That's always when you're like double-A baseball, you love it when the big leaguer's down on rehab. Like, Ryan Zimmerman did rehab here in Richmond. He came in, he's like, that's the pregame spray, like, calls and orders out back for everybody. Those guys take care of everybody when they're down there. I don't think Bronny was going to do that, but they're not subjecting Bronny to the rigors of G League basketball, that's for sure. 3 hours, live and local, AWOD Radio. What you got cooking?
Yes, every Wednesday we step inside the mind of the NFL QB with QBIQ. We'll drive down Richmond Highway with the czar, Gary Hess. We've got some high school football playoffs to talk about. Ed Nixon to talk a little VCU basketball. Bill Roth for the Cowan Gates Hokies update at 1:30.
Bye week for the Hokies, loading up for two must-win games, Duke and UVA. Got to have them both. Can have them both, though. Got to get to my dream, Hokies in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The field trip, I'm calling it right now.
All right,
AWOD Radio next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1
FM. Be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM.
Welcome aboard the Wednesday program. Normally turn the page Wednesday as we get you ready for the coming week of football. We're kind of already there because it's Commanders Eagles tomorrow night. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Also, a game night for VCU basketball, our new game day tradition. The voice of the Rams, Robbie Robinson, joins the program at 11:30. Fun fact, VCU undefeated on game days where Robbie Robinson appears on the MP on the Mic program. We'll see if we can keep that up tonight. VCU hosting Merrimack, 7 o'clock. You know where to be. It's the Siegel Center. If you're not at the Siegel Center, you know where to be. It's the pregame show with AWOD, 6:15, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. University of Richmond on the road tonight in Charlotte. Early test for the Spiders. Hold your nose. You got to root for the A-10 teams in this portion of the schedule, because their success is everybody's success on the quest for multiple bids this year. And VCU did their part against Boston College, now come home with a take-care-of-business game against Merrimack. We'll see if the Rams can handle their business. They struggled with that at times last year. I get the feeling This is a different team, though. At 10:30, play Chesterfield. You know it. You love it. It is our high school athlete spotlight of the week. Today, we are going to Monacan High School. We will chat with some folks at Monacan about everything going on down there. The Play Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight takes place in 28 minutes. 11 o'clock, Zach Joaquin, Richmond Times Dispatch. He'll get us ready for the VCU game, of course. I think this is his marathon weekend. Obviously, we need to ask him about that. He may bring it up unprompted, as marathon runners often do. He also... a lot of high school football this weekend. Gary Hess, Coach Chris, there'll be a Saturday special, 12:30. They'll be up in Fredericksburg watching Benedictine try to win the private school state title. Public schools, first weekend of the playoffs. Playoff expansion means there aren't a ton of mega compelling games. Probably the top on that list is Thomas Dale at Manchester. That'll be a fun one. You got Hermitage Byrd, couple name programs there. That'll be fun. But we're all watching that Region 4, where Dinwiddie, Holden Serve is the number one. They've got Powhatan and Verina and Huguenot on a collision course. If they can handle their business this week, a really fun, highly anticipated game between two area powers next weekend. So a lot to look forward to, a lot that we will get you ready for here. And then I'm excited because tomorrow we'll be on the road to Philly. And then, of course, that means Friday morning we'll be live from Philly with a little Commanders-Eagles postgame for you. We'll take you inside the locker room. We'll break down everything that happens there. There's a lot going on in this game because you've got the winners going to be in the driver's seat in the NFC East home playoff game. You've got all the subplots. Saquon Barkley has run all over Washington in the past when they've played. By the way, Terry McLaurin has dominated the Eagles every time they play. You've got some favorable matchups both ways. Washington's had some success up there at Lincoln Financial Field. I think it'll be a fun game. I think everybody will be ready to go. I think it's going to be a wild one. I'm expecting the unexpected going in. If you expect the unexpected, I guess the only way you could be disappointed is if it becomes the expected. I don't even know what the expect. I guess the expected would be 24-21 Eagles or something like that. But that might bore me. But I'm expecting something good's going to happen here. Let's go straight to Fran Brown because I think we need to maximize this opening segment. He's the Syracuse football coach, and I didn't know this. I didn't know this before the Virginia Tech game there for sure. That was a lot of things happened in that game. That was the one where the Virginia Tech kicker interrupted Thriller by the Syracuse marching band and then gave the definitely pre-written apology that was written for him of, I'm sorry, I know the band works hard too. He's the kicker. He doesn't get respect either. The kicker's having to say how much he respects the band. Somebody respect the kicker too. If the quarterback disrespects the band, we have a power imbalance. If the kicker disrespects the band, I think we have that's a battle of equals there. That's Jets and Sharks. I wish them both the best. We'll see how this works out, the kicker and the band. But the Syracuse coach, Fran Brown, revealed that after his team loses, he doesn't shower.
Honestly, I got like a ritual. Like when we lose, I ain't even getting a shower till early this morning. I just be mad. I just brush my teeth. But it's like I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on like trying to get back and trying to make sure that our players mentally understand and know that I let them down, that they didn't do it. You know, I just wake up all night, especially when you lose. You like wake up like, damn, it really happened. You know, it really happened that way. So it's just different pieces. And then I just move on. There's a process that I follow every week, win, lose, or draw. Only thing is, like, my wife, I can't sleep in the bed if we lose because I ain't going to get in the shower for that day. I'm just mad, and I just sit there. I just brush my teeth. That's what I have to do so y'all won't say my breath stink.
That's weird, but I don't deserve soap is an all-timer of a line. That's, I don't shower after we lose. I don't deserve soap.
Don't deserve it.
The people around you might deserve soap. The people around you might
at least
deserve.
He still brushes his teeth. That's so his
breath,
for you.
You can't tell him anything about his breath. You try to tell him something about his breath, he can't do it. He's not going to hear that. My breath is minty fresh.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rest? What's the smell then? That's the rest of me. I don't deserve soap. But toothbrushing, that's a human right. we don't mess with that.
Win, lose, or draw. No. You can brush your teeth.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't mess around with that. First edition of the college football playoff rankings came out last week, and I said I thought they were a little kind to the Big Ten at the expense of the SEC. I'd like to take that back because the second edition of the college football playoff rankings came out yesterday, and they were even kinder to the Big Ten, even more at the cost to the SEC. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana. That's your top five. I'll keep the score for you. That is four Big Ten teams in the top five of the college football playoff. Texas, which you don't even associate as an SEC team. I'm done rewiring myself because every time you rewire, they change the conferences again. Texas, the only SEC team in the top five. You got Tennessee at 7, and then you got float down to Alabama at 10. Look, it's a tough job. You're comparing two things that they don't play each other. You don't have a lot of body of work other than watching them play against each other. Alabama 10, Ole Miss 11, Georgia 12. Any of those three teams right now would beat Texas, Penn State, or Indiana. Maybe not Texas. Texas is good, but certainly Penn State and Indiana. All respect to Indiana. You know I love the Kurt Cinelli story. Came from JMU, has him 10-0. Late career renaissance in Bloomington. That's fantastic. Penn State, I called it early in the year. This is Penn State's year. I think they're a good team. I'm not saying they're not worthy of the playoffs. I'm just saying those teams would lose to the SEC teams that are allegedly not as good here at the bottom of the rankings. Miami, the only ACC team hanging on, of course. I think Miami's loss to Georgia Tech probably means it's a one-bid year for the ACC. You get a Miami-SMU title game. That'd have enough juice behind it. SMU's got to hold serve against Virginia here in 2 weeks. I don't think they have anything that'll trip them up the rest of the way. Miami's got their traditional rivalry games. I think they're good, though, for their spot. I think whoever wins that will get a playoff spot. I think it's one for the ACC. Also, you got to take care of some of these downwind SEC teams because if Ole Miss and Georgia have two losses and are hanging out on the bubble, I don't know what this committee's watching, but it's not the football games as far as I'm concerned. I think it's pretty clear which conference is better. Now, what's wild, though, is you get the home field advantage in these. So you're talking about now these Alabama boys having to go up to Bloomington or to Happy Valley and play in the cold in December. All right, maybe I change things a little bit. Maybe introduce the home field. Tilt the scales a little bit. Still watching to see if Boise State can break in to the top 12 themselves. They're 8-1 right now. They're rolling. That only loss to Oregon has held up really, really well for them. So that's the college football playoff rankings. I want to do a little UVA because we didn't yesterday, and they had a nice win against Pitt. We'll do that. We'll get to the Play Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight. We'll do it all. We're off and rolling Wednesday edition. MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Net 105.
Right, special FM. Wednesday edition of NFL Picks are on the way, and I realize we moved NFL Picks from Friday to Thursday last week, and now we're moving them Thursday to Wednesday. I just want to assure you NFL Picks will not be next Tuesday. I sense you following the pattern. There's no pattern. We're doing pregame tomorrow. Be in Philly or on the road to Philly tomorrow. We haven't figured it out. That's 24 whole hours from now. But on the road to Philly, doing radio, getting you ready for Commanders Eagles. Here's what I know. I'm going to be in Philly. I'm going to watch the game. It's a really good game. I'm really excited for the game. I like the stadium. I hate the fans. And Friday, we'll do a post-game show where we take inside the locker room. I think I've figured out enough things. Are there holes in that? Yeah, there are holes in that, including tomorrow's radio program. We'll figure that out. We got 24 hours. We'll make this happen. We had Monday off, so the whole week's been weird. Yesterday, we did a lot of Virginia Tech, and that was appropriate, of course, because they played Clemson, and it was a big game. And a lot of people treated it as a referendum on Brent Pry for reasons I'm still not entirely clear on. To me, the Rutgers game is far more of a referendum on Brent Pry, and the Syracuse game is far more of a referendum than the Clemson game was, because Kate Klubnik's really good. And look, say what you will about Dabo losing his mind about the portal. he's assembled a very good football team there, and they won. And Tech, to the extent you can get worked up about this, Tech had an early Beamer ball play to get momentum and did not capitalize on it and did not turn it into, well, they capitalized on it, they got the seven, but they didn't turn it into a halftime lead that was sustainable. I'm not holding that against Brent Pry. He can win his last two. He's fine. I think that's kind of where everybody's at. Like, he's not taking you to the promised land. Everybody realizes that now, but he's a really good coach. He's a great ambassador for the school. And if he beats UVA, he's fine. Of course, beats Duke as well. Beating UVA, though, I think we need to rewind into this UVA Pitt game for a second, because UVA didn't just beat a good Pitt team. They outclassed him in a pretty big-time way, and I think it was instructive of what this team can be the rest of the way. The problem is the next two are not winnable games. They got SMU, and SMU, as we've mentioned, that's the best team money can buy. SMU bought their way into the ACC, called the ACC, was like, we want to join the ACC, and the ACC was like, no. The what if we gave you a lot of money? Well, I'm open to the discussion.
I'll consider it.
Tell me more. What if we put the games on the ACC network, paid to produce them, sent them to you, you put them on TV, and you didn't send us any of the money you make in return? Okay. We're listening. Yeah, ACC. That sounds good. They're in. They raised, the day they announced they were coming to the ACC, that fundraising period, they raised $160 million for the football program. And I just wait, sometimes big numbers are hard to conceptualize. I just want to put $160 million into perspective for you. It's a lot of money. It's so much money, especially when you're talking about paying college football players. So that's my, just to help people understand. Is that a lot of money, MP? Yes, it is, actually. $160 million. It's a ton of money. It's more than any other ACC school raised, and it's not close. They're in. They're going to beat UVA. It's a very talented football team. And then UVA's at Notre Dame, of course, this week, fighting Irish, very much in the playoff chase. You don't trip up teams in the playoff chase unless you're Northern Illinois, apparently, which went into Notre Dame, pulled that off earlier this year. I think they've steadied their ship. So it's all in on this Virginia Tech game now, which is a wild place to be for a team that has shown great improvement. Tony Elliott's coming back. There's some talent. I think I'm just going to start getting excited for that one, though. November 30th, down in Blacksburg. I think UVA's got the talent to surprise them. I think Tech is the better team and is favored to win and should be favored to win and has historically played very well in these rivalry games. But if it's close, I don't know. UVA could make some plays. So let's start here. Here's Xavier Brown. They've got a big-time rushing attack. They got a lot of guys who can run the ball.
First and goal for UVA. Pitch goes to Xavier Brown following his blockers and plows into the end zone for a Wahoo touchdown. The Hoos strike first.
Yeah, and they stay ahead of the chain, stay ahead of the score. Here's Xavier Brown again. He had the second score as well.
Looks over his right shoulder towards the sideline, gets the play, claps, snap comes, hip high. Calandria throws over the middle to Xavier Brown, makes the catch to the 10-5 touchdown. His second tonight. And Virginia races down the field. They're an extra point away from taking the lead.
But part of why I like this UVA team, they've got a lot of good running backs. I don't think Xavier Brown's their best option running the ball. It's Kobe Pace. He scored the third touchdown, but same as the Commanders, right? B-Rob's not playing. I like Austin Eckler. Eckler's not playing. I like Jeremy McNichols. I like teams that have options, especially when you can roll with the hot hand.
Neville now joining them in the backfield in the shotgun. Handoff goes to Pace. He's got a hole, and he has the touchdown. Dove over the goal line, and it's all Hoos in the third quarter. In Virginia on the brink of something special.
Yeah, it's a top 25 win on the road for a team that was staring down, maybe not winning a football game, really through no fault of their own, but a tough schedule down the stretch, and to get this one is a really big deal for them. We've cheated them out of highlights this year, so let's fire up one more just for fun.
Calandria takes the snap, puts his knee on the Steel City surface.
The Hoos ripped up that same old script.
Yes.
And they charge out of Pittsburgh with a top 25 road win.
And part of why we've cheated them on highlights this year is, and this is out of their control, but we talk about it. There's less interest in UVA football than Virginia Tech football. I know that. I host a radio show. It's my job to know what you want to hear about. You want to hear about Virginia Tech football, generally speaking. I know there's some of you out there. Don't call me. I know. There are UVA fans out there. There are far more Virginia Tech fans out there, and they're far more passionate about it. But I think when UVA's got a team and is doing things, I don't want to overlook a nice win like that. Corey Thomas with the big interception. The defense was so good the whole game, rattling the Pitt quarterback. Corey Thomas had the game-winning interception. He's actually from Pittsburgh, so it's double cool. Here's Coach Tony Elliott.
So it's the epitome. It's kind of the epitome of the town that he's from. Just tough and blue collar and a worker. And he was close on another interception earlier in the game. And I told him, hey, you're gonna get the next one. He came running off, looking at his hands like I was this close. I said, you'll get the next one. And sure enough, he did. And just super proud of him because I challenge him, you know, a lot because I see so much potential, you know, in the young man. But he's also had to be very sacrificial too, right? Because he's had to move from where he started the season, which is probably his natural position, to back deeper in the secondary on the hash because Clary is, Clary's down. So just proud of how he's just responded, and he comes to work every single day, and it's only fitting that he has the interception that kind of seals the game for us here in his hometown.
That's impressive stuff. Corey Thomas with the game-winning interception, game-sealing interception, rather, for the Wahoos. So we got to take a trip to Chesterfield. So we'll step aside. We'll do that on the other side. It's the Chesterfield Athlete Spotlight of the Week. We're going to Monica, and when we return, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.